Good evening. At this time, we begin the TechNet Online Markup. I'm K2RIW, along with K2KEY Mel. My name is Dick. And for those who haven't heard the TechNet before, I hope those are rare people. Its main purpose is education, a little bit of fun, on the subject of ham radio, a reasonably complicated hobby with an awful lot of capability. So people find out about their best antennas and transmitters and receivers and how to make all this stuff work. Mostly amateurs helping each other. So the way a person signs in, if you do have a question or a comment, is to give Mel and Dick your call letters, your name, because I'm so forgetful, followed by a yes. The yes means you do have a question for or a comment. A typical sign-in would sound like N2EO, Rich, and yes. So do we have any check-ins? Give me your call letters and names, please.
KC2MDP, Steve, yes. WA2RYY, Joe, yes.
So far we have Steve and Joe, and Joe's got that very complicated problem, which we're sitting on the edge of our chairs waiting to find out what happened on that one. Anyone else besides Steve and Joe, give me your call letters and name at this time.
Yeah, good evening. This is K2KEY5W, mobile and listener. Over.
Okay, we got Mel. Who is the mobile? Give me your full call letters and name again, sir.
Yeah, hi. The name is Joe, J-O-E. Call sign is KC2QYW.
Very fine. And Joe, you do have a question or a comment for the net, and should we worry about the fact you're mobile and about to run out of strength?
No, I'm just supporting the net and listening. And I'm going to be home like in 5 minutes.
Very fine, Joe. And if you get a chance to, if you hear something you want to know more about, feel free to ask a question. Steve, Joe, Mel, and Joe, anyone else to sign in, give me a call with his name at this time. I think that was Mr. QGZ, and your signal is unusually weak tonight, Bill. So, just let you know about that. Okay, Steve, you're the number one on the runway, KC2. Mike Delta Papa, we'd like to hear what you got to say. You got it, Steve.
Very good, Dick. Good evening to all. Okay, Dick, tonight I have a problem with an amp. It's a brand new amp. I sent it back. You know, it's under warranty, so hopefully they'll fix it for me. I'm just trying to get an education out of this experience. Okay, I'll give you the particulars. Here's my problem. This is a 6-meter amp. It's a brick amplifier, you know, electronic amplifier. The ideal situation for this amplifier is 20 watts in. It's supposed to put 375 out. Okay, this thing worked for about 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden, all heck broke loose. Particulars, let's see, I put a 5-watt input in just as a test on a dummy load, and in bypass mode I get about 0.05 watts out. The SWR to the input between the radio and the amp on a dummy load is about 4.8. The amp keys, everything, you know, I mean, as far as the power draw of the amplifier, it's up to snuff. But when I put 5 watts into this thing, key the amplifier, I get about 20 watts out. Now my question is I, you know, I looked over the schematics, just again, you know, just trying to get myself an education. There's a thing in there that's called an LPF network. Looks like a couple of capacitors is in series with the outputs. I wonder if this could have went south. Just your opinion on this, Dick. You know, like I said, I'm just trying to gain an education on my bad experience here with this amp. Back to you.
Okay, doing a little bit of a quick calculation here. At the rated input of the amplifier, 20 watts, if it did put out 375 watts, that's a fancy way of saying that it's amplifying the signal by 18.75 to 1, and that would be, if I got my calculator working right, yes, that would be an apparent gain of 12 dB, 12.73 dB. And then when you put in 5 watts and got 20 out. It's only a 4 to 1 ratio. It's only 6 dB. So it's a little bit mysterious that according to specification, it's got 12 point something dB of gain. What was that number again? Yeah, 12.7. And yet at the lower level of drive, you were seeing less than that amount of gain. Now that could be explained by the amplifier being a Class C, not a Class A. In fact, many solid-state amplifiers are running Class C. In FM service, that's perfectly all right. In sideband service, if you ever tried using it in sideband, many of these amplifiers sound awfully ratty. Really, really ratty. And that's because they're running Class C, and if you take a clean sideband signal and run it into a truly Class C amplifier, it gives you fantastic crossover distortion, and I can explain where that's coming from. It gives you tremendous flat-topping distortion. It sounds terrible. It doesn't matter, it's okay. you get the point. It turns out that a significant percentage, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 80% of all the solid-state amplifiers out there. If you do a good, clean study of them, you'll see that they are biased for Class C service, not Class A service. And the reason for that is the average person who buys an amplifier wants ridiculous efficiency. He wants it to draw the minimum amount of current from his 12-volt power supply. He wants the maximum power output that he sees on his watt meter. And that's what makes him happy. And rarely, rarely does a guy take a solid-state amplifier, put it in the service, and then ask for objective reports from his friends as to how clean it sounds. And please tune up and down the band a little bit and see if I'm splattering. Rarely does a guy do that. For reasons I don't quite understand, they naively think that there's no problem. They don't even ask those darn questions. On top of that, another funny thing happens. Many of these Class C amplifiers are reasonably stable if and only if they're driven at full power on the input and fed into an antenna that's reasonably broadband and reasonably 50 ohms in that broadbandness. As you can see, we're really describing an amplifier that has highly conditional stability. An amplifier with truly unconditional stability, in other words, it's stable under all conditions, would have much lower efficiency, would be a more complicated design, and barely does an amplifier do that. A Class C amplifier really means that when it's driven correctly, it is pretty far beyond cutoff. In other words, it draws essentially zero current when you don't drive it. That's Class C. A truly Class A amplifier, you turn it on with no drive, it draws a certain amount of current, you drive it to recommended levels, and there is no change in the current it draws. That's truly Class A. You would be very hard-pressed, Steve, to find an amplifier on planet Earth that you and I can buy that's a so-called brick amplifier that would fulfill that requirement. The bottom line is, essentially, none of the amplifiers are Class C. Even the ones that are called Class A are quasi-Class A. That means that they've done a few tricks to try to lower the distortion, but they didn't do an excellent job of it. So, now, once you're Class C, you realize that with full drive, Class C means that you're drawing current less than 50% of the RF cycle. Take a Class C amplifier, which is less than 50% driven at full drive level, and then drive it at 5 watts instead of 20 watts, 1/4, and now you're much lower in the percentage of time it's drawing current throughout the RF cycle. As such, a great big C swing takes place. In other words, capacitance change versus voltage, and the opportunity for it to go into parametric oscillation is hugely increased. Also, another characteristic of Class C is that when you underdrive it, the gain decreases. And so you flipped some of those characteristics. Your gain went from 12.3 to 1 power ratio down to a 6 to 1 power ratio or 4 to 1 power ratio when you were at the lower drive. So it seems to be following Class C conditions. But now there's another little mystery you threw in there. You told me that in the bypass mode means that you didn't turn on the amplifier. It's bypass relay, if it's doing its job. When you put 5 watts into it, you should be getting 4.9 watts out. You said that when you put 5 watts in, you got 0.05 watts out in the bypass mode. That would suggest that either it wasn't in the bypass mode, or in its so-called bypass mode, it wasn't getting beat plus to the amplifier, but the relay wasn't doing any bypassing. It was still trying to go through the amplifier. To put 5 watts in to get 0.05 watts out, 10 dB of loss, sounds almost like throughput characteristics when the amplifier is essentially turned off. So maybe I misheard you a little bit. You got a couple of mysteries there. I wonder, is this the very first time you mailed it back, Steve? If it's not the first time, I'd love to find out what happened the first time and what they said. What brand name is the amplifier? We don't pull any punches here on the segment. Mel and I, we call a spade a spade. If that particular brand name is not so great on 6 meters, I think the rest of us would like to know about it. So back to you, Steve. Correct some of the errors I may have created. KC2, Mike Delta Papa, K2RIW in the TechNet.
May I comment, Dick?
PNJ.
Okay, we got both Mel and PNJ. Before we go to PNJ, let's first hear from Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, Dick. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Mel last week about this amplifier. It had a little bit high SWR characteristic on it, but he explained that to me. Basically, yeah, everything is correct. And like I said, the ideal situation is 25 watts in, 375 watts out. Now, what they tell you is to run it at 16 watts maximum because they say some of these, especially the ICOM radios, have an RF spike in it. Now, that's the first thing I did is I made sure maximum power was 16 watts, you know. I ran this through a dummy load. I connected to my antenna, the lower end of 50. And, you know, everything worked all right. I was doing all my tests in FM, you know, just to make it easier for readings. And also at 16 watts in, I was getting 50 watts out, you know. Then that's when I dropped my, you know, my drive level. I didn't want to, you know, cause any more problems in there. That's when I started going to a 5 watt and doing my little test here. It's a TE Systems amplifier, Dick, and this is the first time I sent it back to you.
Okay, so 5 watts in, 20 watts out, 16 watts in, 50 watts out, and the 16 watts in is getting very close to the rated 20, because 50 watts out and as opposed to 375 certainly sounds very deficient. I'm assuming now you are measuring the power output with something like a bird wattmeter. Before we pass it over to other people, what do you believe is the confidence you have, Steve, that the power output numbers you're reading are accurate? Have you used that wattmeter on 6 meters with other amplifiers before? I mean, if your particular slug, your high-power slug on your bird wattmeter, if that's what you're using, happens to be defective, and that's possible, you'd be amazed how easy that is to happen, that would explain a little bit of this. A further question I've got is, does it draw normal current? Does it draw rated current when you're feeding it? If, for instance, you feed it 16 watts, and it draws the exact amount of current it's supposed to, then we got an even further mystery going on here. So let me pass it back to you for a couple more questions, Steve, before we pass it around. You got it, Steve.
Okay, very good, Dick. It's a diode. It's the dual needle meter, and I did test it. You know, the 706 Mark II. You know, the amplifier out, I ramped that up to 100 watts, and the meter said I was probably getting about 90 watts out. I took the meter, I put it in line with my old ICOM IC551, which puts out about 10 watts. Through a dummy load, it said it was putting out about 12. So I guess it's pretty accurate. And yes, this thing says full, rated output is, I think it was 53 amps at 25 watts with a 375 watt output. And with 16 watts drive, it was putting it out about, I'd say, somewhere in, 40, 45 watts. Back to you.
Yeah, but was it drawing 53 amps, Steve?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Yeah, with the 16 watts in and the 50 watts out, it was probably about 43 amps. I'm sorry. Amps instead of watts. Back to you.
So it's supposed to draw 53 amps, and it was drawing 43 amps. So we got you correct on that one, Steve?
That's correct, Dick.
Okay, so we got both Mel and PNJ here. Mel, first, tell us what you think's going on, Mel.
Okay, this is K2KUY. Basically, I know the amplifier because I've looked into one, basically, and I wanted to see, you know, what the nitty-gritties are. It uses the power RF power FETs in there, MOS type, of course, that's the modern version of it, because before that they were producing an amplifier using bipolar, but they, they wanted to simplify the VHF amplifiers, the VHF UH amplifiers, so they went to these power FETs, and they're biasing them into AB, the AB, class AB, Dick, the network that they use, actually, I looked at the low-pass network that they use, and the way they tie the two devices together, what most likely is happening there, one of the devices is bad, and it's trying to drag the other device down with it. That's why he developed that particular problem. That was similar problem to what happened with the one I looked at. It got to, when I spoke to the devices were under the name Motorola, and when I spoke to the distributor, he said you have to replace them. Well, not distributor, it was the technical advisor there. He says seemed to know what I was talking about. He says, and part of the problem, I think the problem is the degree because of the feedback capacitance between the collector, you know, the base, the drain system in there. That they went to, you know, because when they changed over to the power FETs, they used those new, you know, the enhanced type MOS type, so that the positive voltage at the gate in respect to the source is used to turn the device on now. In other words, it's the reference, it's the ratio, as he explained it, of the IC peak divided by the HFE is basically how they determine the biasing, and it, like I say, it runs in class AB, Dick, over.
Were you citing the same mill that when one of those FET transistors is pulling the system down, that the pair has to be replaced as a matched FET? Did they say anything along those lines? No, go ahead.
Exactly. In fact, I have here, I dug up my note on here, it's Motorola application note AN758. I guess that reading between the lines, this is most likely a problem that they were having. And in the other amplifier, look what they did here. I was looking at another amplifier, similar idea. They got a 12-volt system in there, and they're boosting it up. Holy crap. They got an inverting system here, and they're boosting it to 45 volts. And using a 1-to-16 ratio transformer system to fabricate. Oh, boy. This was a modification of the later amplifier. I guess it's gone through a number of different, different applications and all. I mean, you know, it grew into a number of different systems. But the one that's currently running on this, is this his running on 12 volts, by the way, over?
Go ahead, Steve. Are you running on 12? And when it comes back to you, Mel, I want to know, is the 375-watt amplifier a pair of devices that are running on 45 volts by way of a built-in inverter? And I can see some pros and cons of that. But Steve, go ahead with that question.
Yeah, it's a 12 volts, 13.8. Thank you.
So do you think, Mel, that his particular version contains the inverter that brings it up to 45 volts or 48 volts? And if so, if that inverter is not putting out full voltage, well, that could make life fairly complicated. Back to you, Mel.
Well, I think his has an indication. I think do you have a voltmeter on the panel that indicates, you know, a VOM? I think some of them had a switch that you could switch, read the bias, read the voltage. Am I correct, Steve? Over.
On the amplifier, no, there's no meters on that at all, Mel.
You think that's the more Cadillac version you're describing, Mel?
I believe so. I believe so. I think they had ones in different categories, but they had them. Boy, I think they're producing one up now up to the 1 kilowatt range. And it's using, believe it or not, they got one in the 1 kilowatt range now that's with two FETs in it, Dick, over.
Oh, yeah. But some of these Motorola devices are real mooshy. Oh, can they make power? Let's see what, I think it's Bob, W2PNJ, if I got your call left or right. Bob, you got anything to add to this?
No, I was just checking in. I'm sorry I checked in late. I was talking to Mike over on the island of Crete, and then I was on my guys after 8 o'clock. That's all. I'm just listening on the side. Thank you, guys.
Very fine, Bob. We've got you on the list. Okay, Steve. I'm very unhappy with the so-called bypass mode, 5 watts in, 0.05 watts out. I'm very happy that when you feed your 706 or your IC551 through that, I call it a bird, but it's a Daywalk amplifier, that you get the approximate the right power output. That's very, very encouraging. So you've got confirmation now that your power meter is reading correctly, and this particular amplifier certainly is not. I sure hope it's under warranty, since it sounds to me like a fairly new device, and I'll bet you it's a little on the pricey side. That kind of power, I bet you we're well into the $500-$600 category, and maybe I'm conservative, living in the old days. So, is it under warranty? Glad you shipped it back. How long ago did you ship it back, and have you heard any word yet from TE Systems? Tell us anything more you can, Steve. And by the way, keep us up to date in the coming TechNet to what they said. It would be awful nice if they gave you a failure analysis. I know they won't. I think most likely they're going to say, we fixed it, here it is, and I hope it's under warranty. You got it, Steve.
Man, I just meant something else, Dick.
Okay, stand by then, Steve. Go ahead, Mel.
Hey, this is K2KEY. I noticed something else about when I was looking at one of those amplifiers. They have, you know, to when you go using a transceiver on it, and this is a strange thing, when you're using a transceiver on it, they do not have a relay that switches the input to the output. You know, in other words, it, in receive position, there's no bypass in the amplifier. And so, if you shut the power, you know, on the amplifier and you leave it still in the line, the exciter, the radio that's driving it, power output is less than if you bypass. In other words, how do I explain this? In other words, if I took that radio and ran it into that antenna system without the amplifier connected, in other words, I would get one power reading. If I put the amplifier, this is a working amplifier, if I put it in the line and then read the power with the amplifier in off position, I get a lower power reading. Now, you know why that is, Dick? Over.
I'm going to make a guess. I've seen a number of these amplifiers on the input, particularly the 2-meter ones and even the 450 ones. It is a simple read relay being used in an RF environment. It's not a real coaxial relay. So some of them have a fairly significant amount of insertion loss due to radiation. In other words, this open frame read relay has all your valuable RF power in the bypass mode flowing through those reads, radiating like crazy inside of that box. Some of it in turn gets picked up by the great big red output, the great big red 12-volt input lead and radiated out of the box. So it's a really good, use a good coaxial relay would be more bulky, tremendously more expensive, and these guys aren't doing it. So that's one of the factors. Back to you, Mel.
No relays involved, Vic. Believe it or not, there isn't a relay involved in the system. How it works, they have a transformer on the input, an RF transformer. I think of the theory of operation, it most likely is like something like a high ratio, like something like 1 to 10 or something like that, some kind of a, you know, transformer like that. It then goes to the secondary of the transformer, then goes to two inductors that are in series with resistors that pick up the FETs. and then are connected to the low-pass filter. So in other words, without the power on the FETs, the high impedance that you have there, they find they don't need a relay. It just goes through that RF transformer right into the low-pass filter that's inside the radio. So in the off position, the only thing is you'll see a little less power there.
Okay. Are you telling me, Mel, that the input transformer is trying to couple the energy primarily to the output, but it sniffs a little bit of that power and sends it to the amplifying transistors? Other than that, if there's no pin diodes that are switching, and if there's no relays that are switching, I'm having trouble seeing how input power through the transformer gets coupled to the output when the amplifier is in the non-operative mode. I'm having trouble seeing that. And if that transformer is capable of coupling power to the output in the bypass mode, who negates that bypass mode when the amplifier is active? Because if there's a definite path from input to the transformer to the output, which is active in the bypass mode, when you're in the amplifier mode, you got a boost of a signal in the output. Some of it's going to leak back in the input. And how in the world do they keep that from oscillating? You see, I've got a whole series of questions here, Mel. Maybe you've already studied this, and maybe you know how they're doing it. Sounds like a slightly tough way to go, unless some kind of pin diode switching or diode bypassing or real relay somewhere flipping. If you're not electronically changing the circuit between the gain mode and the bypass mode, I'm having trouble seeing how they get stability out of this. Explain that to me, Mel. K2KUI, K2RIW.
Yeah, I had a little problem with it initially, so you're in the same. Don't feel bad about it, because I was looking myself, and I said, how the heck are they doing this magic? And basically, how they do it, they got this transformer that you connect when you connect your radio to the input, this transformer. The secondary of this transformer, from what I can see, I didn't get really the full schematic on it, because they only got these block schematics, which I love. But what I could see, they have on a secondary, they have these nice capacitors, fancy looking capacitors, that go off to the MOSFET. There's also, in series with each leg of the secondary of the transformer, these coils. And the coils I looked at, they most likely look, like wound coils. And they're in series with special resistance. I think they call them pyrofilm resistance. PPR, that's it. Yeah, PPR resistance. The special made resistance, power resistance. These power resistors now do two things. One, they pick up the output terminal of the MOSFET. And each one, in other words, each side of the transformer goes through this coil, through the resistor, goes to power MOSFET, and also at the same time connect the low pass filters. You know, the LPs, the low pass filters in this thing. They're you know, a whole gang of them. They seem to have a group of them. Just look at it. It looks strange. I don't know. It looks like a block and all. But if you, in other words, measure, if you're measuring right through that thing, there is, in other words, those coils and all couple. Actually, from the secondary of that input transformer couples right to the low-pass filters. And like I say, with this power switch in off position, it goes right through, Dick. Over.
KF2RL, another Steve. KF2RL, have you studied this thing, and can you make some sense out of it? And give us a little bit more audio, Steve. Go ahead.
Okay, come on. Is this the making? I can't see talking here. Is that any better?
Tremendously. You came up by 20 disciples, and now we hear you. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. I've done a lot of designing of RF amplifiers. What he said, the thing that puzzled me was that he said it was still drawing 42 amps. Normally, if you lose the device, you're not going to draw that much. You know, you can draw somewhere maybe a little bit more than half, but not four-fifths of the original current. And where's the 500 watts of heat going, actually? I'm suspecting something, not even the device being bad. I'm actually thinking that something's wrong with the low-pass filter, because it's probably common to both the bad input VSWR, it's probably going through the filter somehow. And it's also, cutting back the amplifier power also.
Interesting. Okay, let's find out from Steve. I hope this is a fairly new amplifier. I hope it's under warranty. And I hope that the TE system, is going to fix it for you for just a shipping charge. I'm not even sure that they should be charging you that if it's arrived at your QTH in that form. And so, what do you think is going to happen here, Steve? Sure, it would be nice if you had a failure report, but I think the best you're going to get is a working unit when they send it back to you. KC2 MDP, KQLIW in the TechNet.
Okay, Dick. Yeah, very good. Well, it did work, Dick, when I first got it. I read the note, 16 watts, to figure, all right, let me do that. So, in FM mode, you tell me if this sounds right to you. 16 watts drive in, it was probably giving me, I'd say, probably around 200 watts out. That's number one. Number two, there is a relay in this thing. You can hear it clicking. You can see it on the little schematic that I'm looking at. And that's the first thing the guy asked me when I called. He says, there's a relay in there that's stuck. He says, tap it a couple of times, so you can get that relay to loosen. It sounded a little bit ludicrous to me. But I did it, and nothing. And, like the other Steve is saying, there is a thing in there that says LPF network. It looks like a coil with a couple of capacitors. And I'm saying to myself, well, maybe that's bad. Because the thing is keying. You put power into it, it's keying. And the amperage on this amplifier is probably normal for 16 watts drive. That's the thing that confused me. And I'm only getting 50 watts out. Back to you, Dick.
If the specification is 20 watts in for 375 out, then if it kept the same linearity, 16 watts in should have been 300 watts out, 300, and you're getting 200. So even when it was brand new, and you've got reason to believe your Daiwa is telling you the truth, even brand new, it wasn't giving you spec performance. There is a catch, though, and that is many of these solid-state amplifiers are extremely sensitive to a raw voltage, what we call 12 volts. Many of them will not give full performance until you give them 13.75, which is what approximately comes out of your alternator in your automobile when the engine is running, and you're not running air conditioner and lights and heaters and everything else full blast. Yeah. So were you feeding at 12 or were you feeding at 13.75? Some amplifiers, you can easily go from 300 watts to 375 watts output when you go from 12 to 13.75 volts. So do you happen to know what voltage was really getting to the amplifier after all your voltage drop of all your wiring? Back to you, Steve.
Okay, very good, Dick. Yeah, now their specification is 25 in for 375 out, and like I say, they say to keep it no higher than 16. It's RS-70M, and it should be putting out 13.8. Back to you, Dick.
Okay. How long have you owned it before it went into this very low power output mode, Steve?
I've owned it, maybe a week. I was waiting for my RS-70M to come in. I was actually waiting for this new meter to come in because my other meter only is a maximum of 200 watts. And I'd say the thing has been on the air, maybe with the tests and stuff, a whole 10 minutes before I had this problem. Back to you.
Yes, sir. Now, Steve, we're going to get you in a second, RL. Do you know what the stated warranty period is for this one, Steve, number one, KC2, MDP?
I read it in there somewhere, Dick. I think it was a year. I'm not sure. I know it's somewhere in the paperwork. I could dig it up, but I think it was a year warranty. Back to you.
Sounds awful good. Steve, number two, KF2RO, go ahead.
Okay, a few things. When you lose, an amplifier, when you lose a device, the power goes down by the 20 times the log of the number of devices totaling to the number that you lost. Actually, it's the other way around. Number that you lost to the number. That would be about 6 dB for a pair of transistors, which sounds close, but the 42 amps is still telling me that that transistor is trying to produce power, and there's 500 watts of heat being generated somewhere. You should be able to find that pretty easily.
Yeah, Steve, I've often used the exact same mathematics you have. When you've got a truly balanced amplifier, quadrature hybrid going in to a pair of equal amplifying devices, quadrature hybrid coming back out, everyone calls that graceful degradation. But if you completely lose one of those amplifiers, so you're now generating half the power, the isolating resistor of the output hybrid starts absorbing half the power, because it's looking at the difference, and you get the other left over. So the bottom line is, lose one of the two amplifying devices, and you go down to one quarter power, 6 dB of loss, if there is a hybrid combiner. However, did they really put in a hybrid combiner? Did they really put in a 150-watt dummy lift on the fourth port of the hybrid combiner? I'm kind of doubtful of all of that. They may be using something more like a parallel output arrangement, in which case you lose one of those transistors. You may not lose quite as much as 6 dB if the failed device becomes an open circuit. If the failed device sits there as a dummy load, yeah, all kinds of things happen. For cost-saving reasons, I'm having trouble believing this is a really balanced amplifier with all of the proper circuitry for quadrature hybrid in, quadrature hybrid out. What do you think, Steve? KF2RL, KQIW, and the TechPad?
I can almost guarantee it's not. I guarantee it's using a push-pull arrangement. Although Motorola has most of that way. And it's still seeing similar ratios when you lose one device, more or less maybe a dB or two. So he's in that range, but the 42 amps is the only thing that's killing that whole theory. I still think it's something that's actually, you know, reflecting the power back into the devices or something, but you're just getting 500 watts. Something is getting hot.
Yeah, that's another good question for you, Steve. You've got lots of steam going in, the 43 amperes at 13 volts and so on, something like that. So you're giving it lots of steam, and you're only getting a small amount of power output in the current failed mode. Did that heat sink get pretty hot? Did you see a difference in the amount of heat coming off this? And maybe you didn't get a chance to measure that. KC2MDP, K2RIW, in the second half.
Yeah, Dick, that's a good question. You know, like I said, I only played with it for a few minutes. You know, I didn't want to go full key down with a brand new installation. Once I had this problem, I sort of kept my transmissions kind of short, you know, as not to fry my radio or something else in there. It got warm, but it didn't get overly hot. Back to you, Dick.
Comment, Dick.
Okay, that could mean it's got a very significant heat sink, and therefore you didn't see that much difference. Okay, we're going to pass it over to Mel, and then I think there was another person who wanted to make a comment. We'll pick you up right after Mel. K2KEY, you got it.
Hey, this is K2KEY. Now, the amplifier looked at, it was getting, that thing was hot, real hot, and the power was way down. And I got to say, when I spoke to them, he says, oh, right away, those power transistors got to be replaced as a pair. And it took care of the problem. Now, the question is, like I say, I only did it a little bit, you know, it wasn't my amp and all, so I was doing really a favor. They were MRF, I believe, 154. Is that sound familiar? Is that so correct? Am I, my memory serving me correctly? Those are the power or devices in there, MRF 154s. And the relay, there was a relay, but that little read thing in there was only to turn on the bias stick, over.
Okay, so,
go ahead, RL.
Okay, the MRF 154 is the older version of the MRF 157. That's a 600 watt transistor. Using a pair of those things, they usually with 4-to-1, actually 9-to-1 load that, they don't get to 1200 watts because it's in between load lines. They usually either lower the voltage and go for, you know, like a little bit less power. Usually get about 1000 watts out of pair of those up. It's good for up to 100 megahertz.
Wow. That sounds like a little healthier. Now, MRF is definitely the prefix that's on these super Motorola devices. Some of them are awful nice. Motorola 899, for instance, is one that I've been looking at, if I remember the number correctly, which can produce 150 watts per transistor. And I've seen some amplifiers that have four of those in there. And boy, can that make steam. So And I can see why they'd want to replace them in matched pairs, because I think only a matched pair could guarantee some reasonable amount of stability. If one of them failed and you've got a latent failure in the other one, life can get very complicated. That buddy of yours, Mel, who you helped out and did replace it, sounds to me like it's kind of an infant mortality in both that case and Steve's case. In other words, something brand new sometimes will fail, but after it's been cooked for a while, no more failures. That one that you were working with, after the repair, did the guy get some reasonable life service out of it for a couple of years, to your knowledge, Mel? K2KEY, K2LAW on the TechNet?
Yeah, this K2KEY. I fixed it up for him. He says, you got an old computer power supply around? He says, oh, yeah, I got a bunch of them. I said, take them 4-inch muffin fan out of it. Yeah. And I said, we're going to mount it onto the heat sink and on the sink. And that blow air galore, and never heard from him again, at least, you know, through a second party. I asked one or two times, you know, does the thing still work? And he says, as far as I know, it works. He says, needed that little extra cooling or whatever. But I'll tell you something. When they use the case, and a lot of these designs, they've taken a wonderful technology, but they abuse the heck out of it. And one of the things they do, Dick, they use the case as part of the heat sink, because that case gets hot. I don't care what you say. I never expected to touch a cabinet of a radio and pull my hand back.
Yeah, Dick, it like I said, it was warm. Then again, you know, I kept transmission short, you know. It was lucky if it was on, you know, 30 seconds at a time, and then I'd do my tests and stuff. Looking at the instructions here, you know, the manual here, it says there's 4 MRM 492 or equivalent. All makes sense, Dick. The only thing is I'm still puzzled about is what ESWR is still high, you know, from the radio to the amp itself.